Welcome back to Coffee with Innovate Finance, a podcast series where we are speaking with experts from the industry on the changing face of financial services and the future of fintech and financial innovation. I'm Rashi Pandey, Head of Partnerships, and I'm very pleased to welcome Keith Gross, who is the Head of UK at Plaid. So Plaid, since 2013, has connected consumers and SMEs to the digital financial ecosystem. 2020 was a huge year for enterprise companies moving into fintech, with major developments from Google, Microsoft, Apple, and more. So Keith joins us today to discuss how embedded finance will take shape and what it means for consumers, financial institutions, and the fintech ecosystem when financial technology is a part of every company. So thank you so much for joining us today, Keith.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me, Rashi.
I absolutely love your green background. I only wish our, you know, listeners could visualize that Keith is sitting here with, you know, a maroon sweater and a lot of green going on. So, you know, I'm going to start it with asking you, in the financial services universe right now, innovation is obviously constant. And there are so many buzzwords and phrases out there. So before we dive into the world of embedded finance, can you briefly explain to our listeners what that means? And can you perhaps give us some everyday examples?
Yeah, so I think the way to think about embedded finance is bringing financial services to meet people where they already are in a digital and online ecosystem. So, you know, in this world, particularly in the post-COVID world where we're all used to using banking and online banking, it's the idea of taking some of those use cases and building them into other applications and services where you wouldn't necessarily think of them as financial services. So a great example here is think about the gig economy and workers in that space. So if you're a driver for Uber Eats or Deliveroo, you're getting income from those companies. Why don't you start to have banking services and checking accounts and the ability to get loan advances, things like that built into that app? And you wouldn't think of necessarily those companies as financial services companies because they're not. But this is an example of every company becoming a fintech. There are now tools and services where you can build those types of use cases into applications that just frankly couldn't do that 10 years ago.
No, that's, I love how you said it, you know, it's just connecting people to what they already have. And you're right. I mean, you are seeing, you know, fintech and payments absolutely everywhere. So of course, you know, embedded finance heavily leverages data to offer personalized financial experiences. So how does data sharing work and what role does a consumer play?
I think the consumer is the critical part of that, right? The way data sharing works under PSD2, but I think more generally in open banking, is the concept of this financial data belongs to the end user and they should be able to port it and use it where they want with their permissions. So the key aspect here is making it very clear what permissions a consumer is granting to you and making sure you have clearly gotten those permissions to be able to enable the data sharing that they want. But I think now everyone is used to the idea of being able to see all your transactions in one place and do budgeting and, you know, connect your accounts to other applications. And so I think that sort of familiarity of what open banking is, how it can be used in embedded finance, is only growing at this point. And I think it will become the norm very soon.
No, and you are right. Consumers are, you know, getting more and more, you know, savvy with their budgeting tools, et cetera, as well. And they kind of assume that when they do download a financial app, they should be able to see everything in one place. So as more and more businesses and consumers are integrating fintechs in their everyday lives, what other opportunities do you think embedded finance presents for both businesses and consumers, which we aren't seeing just yet?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think Plaid, the history of us is we've always been about powering innovators and unlocking financial freedom through the great applications that our customers have been building. Mm-hmm. And so I think to date, that's predominantly been working with developers at traditional fintechs like the Venmos of the world and the Square Cashes and Acorns and TransferWises. But I think now you're starting to see previously established companies that aren't in the fintech space start to think about adding this in. I think one example of a place where you haven't seen innovation in a while necessarily is at the point of sale. Yeah. So now you're starting to see things like buy now, pay later, but also how is this going to play out into the physical world as well? And so I think you will start to see embedded finance start to show up in point of sale for other applications where you wouldn't have thought of them as a fintech application historically. And so I think whether that's light credit checks and the ability to do advances, buy now, pay later, the ability to purchase a debit card account while you're checking out, all of those experiences are going to get much more seamless, and you'll start to see them show up at much more traditional companies than you would have thought for fintech use cases. So I think that's a place to keep an eye out in the future.
Nice one. I would have not thought about infrastructure as well, actually. So that's a great point. And why do you believe partnerships between industry stakeholders are a key to advancing it all forward?
Yeah, I think the biggest key, and this is something that I'm a huge believer in, is figuring out as a company what your core competency is, and that's what you should be building. And if it's not your core competency, it's someone else's core competency, and you should be partnering for that. It will give you faster speed to market and probably a less painful and lower cost of service overall. And so I think the key here is to not recreate the wheel for some of these services unless you feel like it's a critical and core part of your business. It's the same reason why people don't build their own accounting platforms internally. They use one, or billing systems. All of these are actually really complicated systems to manage and build. And so I think that decision of build, buy, partner is really critical for any company in the industry. And so I think finding the right partners, if you're going to start adding in these services, is going to be absolutely important to help you get the speed to market and see the benefits that I think really embedded finance can bring to lots of companies around the world. So I would expect to see partnerships be the primary driver of the rollout of embedded finance as we go forward, as larger traditional companies partner with fintech providers to offer new services.
That's great. I mean, we love seeing, you know, fintech partnering together, institutions and fintechs partnering together. And the fact that you said, you know, you guys would be also working with, you know, acquirers and merchants as well going forward. That's absolutely wonderful. So tell me, what is Plaid's role in all of this? And what are your core competencies? And how do you think embedded finance will change the fintech landscape?
Yeah, absolutely. So Plaid is an open banking platform. So what that means is we provide the tools to bring fintech everywhere. So anytime you need to connect a bank account to an application or service, Plaid is the type of tool that you should be using as a developer. And so we power a lot of those innovators and use cases around that. So some specific examples here are, if you're trying to do, say, in the UK, a lending check on and provide a point of sale offering to a customer, you could use transaction data and balance checks to confirm the financial health of the user. You could use open banking payments to do real-time instant settlement transfers from a bank account rather than using more expensive payment methods like a credit card or a debit card. And all of these tools are available via APIs and SDKs that you can plug in easily into your existing applications and services. So it's offering modular tools like that at an infrastructure level is what Plaid does. And so you're starting to see all these companies come to us and say, hey, we want to pick this up and put it in our application to serve this specific use case. Mm-hmm. And I think especially in the UK, open banking payments is really taking off now. And I think that's one of the most exciting use cases where Plaid can really help people realize the benefits of instant settlement, low cost payment methods for embedded finance. Yeah. And you're starting to see that really grow in awareness in the UK. And I think that's going to be the story of the next couple of years, to be honest, around open banking here.
That's wonderful. And do you have anything else to add on how embedded finance will change the fintech landscape?
Yeah, I think the other thing is people are now used to the fact that they need financial tools in lots of new places to manage their health, right? I think if there's one thing COVID taught us, is the two most important things are your physical health and your financial health, and those can change drastically very quickly. And so you have people getting used to the idea of trying to find the easiest way that works for them to manage their financial health. So examples of this that Plaid helps power that I think are interesting is money in Excel, for example, with Microsoft. Mm-hmm. So that's the ability of open up an Excel sheet, use a template, connect your bank account, and you have pre-made budgeting applications, transaction categorization, basically make it really easy for you as an end user to build your own PFM functionality. That's a great example of embedded finance, right? Yeah. Plaid doesn't build Excel. People are used to using Excel, but Plaid provides the bank connectivity aspect of it and is built into this service that people are already used to using. So again, it goes back to this idea of meeting people where they already are and providing the easiest tools that fit their needs. So I think that's another great example that you've seen of really embedded finance in the wild. And you're going to see more and more of those over time as other companies start to pick up on this can really provide value to our users. And we can partner with fintechs easily and cheaply to make it happen.
I love the Excel example. You are right. I mean, most of us use it, right? At least right. In our professions. Talking about partnerships further, of course, you know, Plaid made headlines last year by announcing the Visa and Plaid merger, which was terminated early this year. So strategically, what does this mean now for Plaid?
Strategically, it means two things for Plaid. One is, it means Europe is more important now than ever. We're a standalone company. We own our own destiny, and this is a big focus for us in the UK and Europe. I think the second thing it means is we're really focused on making open banking payments a success for businesses and consumers. And so we're going to be well positioned to offer services to customers, be it savings and investment applications, crypto applications, all these places that are looking for what's the easiest way to receive and manage funds. Open banking payments, we firmly believe, is that use case, is that solve the solution there. And so that's going to be our big strategic focus going forward here, is making sure open banking payments really bring the benefits to consumers here in the UK and Europe that I think they really have the potential to do. And so building out the new functionality that's needed there to address all these new use cases, expanding to new geographies, bringing on new partnerships and figuring out where an embedded finance open banking payments can be useful. That's the big strategic focus for us now in Europe in a post-merger world.
You know what? Consumers are already there, and I think you guys are going to do great. There's a wealth of opportunities there for you guys to, fill in the gaps. So moving on to the, global pandemic, you did mention COVID-19 as well, so we can't not talk about it. How has this impacted embedded finance?
Yeah, I guess I'll step back first and think, how did it impact fintech? So I think COVID had a massive impact on fintech and thus on embedded finance, because you had whole swaths of people that were used to managing their finances with pen and paper, in person, at bank branches, that suddenly were, forced to stay home and had to learn entirely new ways of managing their life. One of the stats that I love to pull out is the fastest growing segment for PayPal in March and April of last year, which was just when COVID was in its first lockdown was hitting, was people above 50 years old. So you have a whole generation of people who had never used fintech applications moving on to that. And we saw that ourselves with this big shift. And I think the other thing that happened as COVID extended is people got used to, these are incredibly useful for me managing my own life. And we did our own survey in the US, and 60% of Americans said they use multiple apps to manage their money and will continue to do so after COVID. So I think you're starting to see not just people's comfort level with fintech and embedded finance increasing, but also people getting used to using multiple different tools to manage their financial health. Banks are no longer a one-stop shop. People will use different things for different use cases. And so I think that is where COVID has really driven the rise of embedded finance, and why you're starting to see it become such a hot topic, is because this concept of, well, if you want to get in financial services, you have to offer every single thing and be the one-stop shop. That's just simply not true anymore. And end users aren't used to that. They're growing more used to the idea of having multiple apps, multiple services, doing different things in different places. And that's what embedded finance enables. And so that's why I think you're going to see this trend really accelerate coming out the other side of COVID. And I think in that sense, I fully expect every company to become a fintech company. Because ultimately, if you're a company, part of what you do is receive funds and manage money on behalf of your customers in some way. And it's an easy extension from that into building the tools and services that help add some of that value to end users. And so I do think you're going to start to see that mantra start to play out of almost every company starting to offer some form of financial services in one way or another, because the tools are there, tools like Plaid, EMI providers. And frankly, it's easy to use now, and the demand and consumer awareness is there coming out of COVID. So I think it's very exciting times for embedded finance coming ahead, and hopefully ultimately, the people who benefit the most are consumers and end users.
This is making me very excited, actually. Right. Adoption is key, and you can really see it. And honestly, the trend of, consumers, including very much us as well, right? It's the stickiness to just one, financial app is not there anymore. You just want different tools, which are at the palm of your tips. And you are going to just use, what is best suited for you, right? And all aspects.
I fully agree with that. I think the other thing that is important to think about is, I think what COVID really brought up is to the role of infrastructure and how important it is for the ecosystem. Think about things like the government loans that went out to small businesses. Actually, one of the biggest pain points for that in both the US and the UK, frankly, is once those loans are approved by the government, how do you actually get them in the hands of small businesses quickly and easily? How do you disperse them? And in a world where people are used to making lending decisions based on a credit score that's 8 weeks out of date, when you have a global pandemic and the financial health of businesses shifts overnight, how do you reevaluate that? And these are places where open banking infrastructure suddenly came to play a very, very important part in both of those examples. And so I do think the other side of it is the awareness of how important infrastructure is in the financial ecosystem has only increased coming out the other side of this.
No, I could not agree more. So of course, you know, we spoke about FinTech. How has COVID-19 impacted yourselves? And has there been any, you know, any new learnings on both a professional and a personal front?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it certainly impacted us. We have been in a work from home and work remote environment since March of last year. And so that's been a big learning for us as a company. We have a fantastic office culture. And so it was, you know, that's a shift. People getting used to how does culture change when you move into a Zoom world? And I think for a while, everyone was doing Zoom happy hours and then you got the fatigue for it. And so, you know, we went through all the same cycle that I think every company has gone through. The benefit of being a tech company, in particular fintech company, is in terms of the actual business, it was easy to translate that into working remotely. So I think we managed that transition well, as many companies have. I think the hardest part has just been on a personal level, maintaining those connections with your coworkers, building a strong culture, and honestly, onboarding and making it a great experience for new employees as well who are joining remote only. I think that's been a challenge that lots of companies have had to face, and one that personally I'm really passionate about, making sure that we can provide that for our new employees who are joining. And I think the other learning for me is that maybe you don't need to travel to every business meeting. Maybe there are some that will continue to be virtual only coming out the other side of this. And you know, for me, 2019 was flat being on a plane every week or every 2 weeks, you know, crisscrossing the Atlantic all the time. Is that going to be the case coming out the other side of this? I would expect probably less so, because I think we've realized that a lot of stuff that could have been done in person doesn't necessarily always have to be in person. So there will definitely, I think, be some shifts in working life once we return to normalcy here. And I know for myself, I'm very excited to be back in the office and see my coworkers again, but I also think I'll be taking less business travel than I was previously. And I would imagine I'm not the only one that's doing that.
Yeah, I'm with you on this as well. I do agree. I mean, you know, change is constant. We are embracing the new future of work as well, right? And has been welcoming for a lot of us in some ways as well. Just taking a deep breath, pause, and you know, you don't need to take that tube if you can avoid it. Let me put it that way. So closing on, as Plaid has expanded to the UK from the US, and you were employee number one, am I right? Because that's when I first met you.
That's right, we're just first like, boots on the ground, yeah.
I really remember this. You were like, hi, yes, right now I'm the only one, but I am hiring people. So what are the top three tips if you were to give it to, you know, fintechs looking to expand to the UK as well, very much like yourselves? What are the three top tips you would like to share?
Ooh, yeah, that's a great one. I guess I would say a few things. One is you absolutely will need people on the ground in the market. I think I talk to fintechs all the time that are thinking about expansion, and they're thinking about, oh, well, can I manage this from my headquarters? No, you will need someone on the ground. You will need to really get embedded and get to learn the ecosystem. And I think that's the second tip I would have, which is go to every possible industry meetup you can when you're getting started. Join all the industry groups. It takes time to get embedded into a new ecosystem in a new place. And London's fantastic and everyone's so open-minded and happy to meet with you. But you just have to go out there and put yourself out there and get to meet people and really build that network yourself. There's no substitute for time and face-to-face meetings. And so I think that's the other thing I would offer. And then the third one is don't underestimate the operational aspects. So if you're actually a company that's looking to expand, look ahead of time into what does the regulatory licensing environment look like? How long does it take to set up a business bank account or an entity? You know, all those processes that, you know, they're rote and you have to do them and they're part of business, but they take time. And so build that into your plan, because I think I talk to a lot of companies that are thinking about expansion and they haven't planned for that aspect. And that's definitely something that you have to have on your radar if you're thinking about doing international expansion right.
No, that's great advice. And I would say if you can't, you know, obviously attend in-person events, guys, there are always a lot of webinars and networking events happening right now virtually. So do take up on that opportunity. So one last thing which I would like to ask actually before I let you go is there any exciting news you would like to share and we should keep a lookout for in terms of this year or next year for Plaid?
Oh, that's a great question. I think you should keep a lookout for a few things. One is new launches around open banking payments, both in terms of where they're available, but the functionality around them, and then more customer and exciting partnership announcements. So we just announced today, actually, as we're recording this, a great partnership with Adam Bank to use open banking to make it easier for small businesses to access loans. I think you're going to see a lot more examples of things like that. So that's one critical one to share, but I think there's more exciting announcements in the near future from Plaid as well.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Keith, for speaking with us today. And more power to you and the entire team at Plaid.
Great. Thank you for having me, Rashi. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. We really look forward to all that exciting news that is going to come out. And honestly, more power to you guys. Because you guys are putting, giving customers what they really need at this point. And that is important. So thank you once again, everyone, for tuning into Coffee with Innovate Finance. Please do look out for our upcoming episodes and follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for more on our events and programs and information on press releases if Plaid is releasing them. So as always, until next time, take care of yourselves. Please be safe. Please be healthy and tune in later as well.